That wake-up guy was trouble.
Yo, get out of bed. What are you doing? You're late. You're late. You're late.
I'm wide awake.
This is my wake-up show.
Now waking you up from the Palatial Bob and Sherry Studios, it's Bob and Sherry.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. We got a big show for you today. We have comic Matt Falk. We're going to tell you what's keeping you awake, and you're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked by what's going on in your bedroom that's keeping you from sleeping at night. But first, we touched on a couple of days ago the plan that the feds have to ban funny electronic road signs. This is coming out of the U.S. Department of Transportation on our nation's interstates. And just last month, the end of the year, the Federal Highway Administration released their new rules and regs, and the quirky signs are going to disappear. So if you like driving down the road and seeing a funny sign, like on Star Wars Day, May 4th last year, one sign read, Han says, Solo down, Leia off the gas. See, that's very funny for, you know, Star Wars heads. Another one said, hey, buddy, that's the temperature, not the speed limit, because they were going in the 80s, right? So there are all these really funny, clever things, and they're going away because the feds say that they're distracting. So we got a call.
Hey, Bob and Sherry and gang. It makes me so sad that the U.S. Federal Highway Administration is asking the states to discontinue those signs. I live in Wisconsin, and I look forward to those. I can't wait to see one. But one of my favorites was over the holidays. It said, he sees you when you're speeding. I'm going to miss them. Thanks for being who you are. Bye.
I'm with her.
That's very cute. Very cute. Who's I mean, it's not a knee slapper, but it's very cute. Yeah.
Yeah, but I want you to think about it. It may not have been a knee slapper. Like, you're not wiping the tears of laughter off your face, but I bet you slowed down.
Yeah,
I bet it had the desired effect. It made you conscious of your speed. Like, how many times have you driven past the speed limit sign? It's just wallpaper now, right?
Yeah,
or those signs. My favorite, speed monitored by aircraft. Isn't there this little voice in your head that goes, oh, yeah, I'm so sure. I'm so sure you've got invisible planes flying in the sky doing radar speed
tests. I can tell you from having lived in the Commonwealth of Virginia that they are very serious about speeding in that state, and you can get a ticket
Virginia.
From an aircraft. Yes.
Virginia.
How does that work? Because they have them
toughest.
In Connecticut.
They're the toughest.
They have them in
they
Connecticut,
the
too. How did they know that it's your license plate?
Well, I don't know, but they find a way to do it, and apparently they
really?
Don't do it with much of a sense of humor.
Yeah, yeah.
Virginia,
that'd be kind of a cool job.
Play. They mean business, and if you drive through Virginia, and they tell you up front, I mean, they put the signs up. I mean, they're like, don't speed, don't do it, and radar detector, get it out of the window. Put it somewhere else, because if they stop you with a radar detector, they'll get you for that, too. They don't play. They are serious. That's the one state that I go by. I'd never speed.
In Virginia.
Everywhere else.
And I've
I'll speed up to Virginia. I'll slow down. And when I get out of Virginia, I speed up again. But I never speed up again.
How many tickets have you gotten over the years? You are the fastest driver of people on this show. How many tickets have you gotten?
I don't know. I can't count. I really can't count.
It's that
you
high.
Can't count?
I could tell you the last ticket I got.
And I hadn't got one in a long, long time.
Have you slowed down?
I've been pulled out. Well.
we've been asking you to slow down a long time.
I can't do it. I'm more attentive when I'm going fast. I'm more attentive. And I'm out in front of everybody, so I've got less chance of being involved in an accident.
Will you listen to this? This is, it's
true.
I've never asked someone.
Front car never gets in an accident. Front car never gets in an accident.
I've never asked someone, how many speeding tickets have you had? And they can't give me an answer.
I know.
I've been stopped a lot and talked my way out. That's the one good thing. I've talked my way out of a lot.
That's going to be another segment right there. I want to hear about that. It's Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
Dr. Leo Stanley was chief surgeon at San Quentin State Prison from 1913 to 1951. His horrific pro-eugenics legacy included performing inhumane surgeries on inmates as a way to rehabilitate them. From thyroid removal to transplanting testicular glands from executed prisoners to living ones, his belief in surgical cures for criminal minds made him a medical Frankenstein.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
If you're just joining us in the last segment, I asked Lamar, so tell me how many speeding tickets you've gotten. And we didn't have time for the answer. But for you, as long as we've known Lamar, we have been asking him to slow down. And I'm going to ask him once again, because if you go off the road and crash into a barn at 100 miles an hour and your car blows up and that's the end of you, I got to be the one, or actually Sherry has to be the one to call Tony and say, hey, we got to find another guy that wants to work with us. And that's not going to go over well with Tony, because this search was like one of a kind. So get back to the tickets. I can tell you exactly where and when the last speeding ticket I got was, and it was at 4:45 in the morning, and I had a sponsor's car that I wasn't used to. It was a Cadillac, and I was going into the station, and my daughter, Allie, I don't remember the exact year, but my daughter, Allie, who is now a grown, married young woman, was in middle school. So that's a long time ago. And the guy did give me a ticket. He said, I'm not going to give you the worst ticket I could give you. He was a listener, actually. But he said, I've got to give you something. And I had to go to bad boy driving school. That was the last time. How many tickets do you figure, Bob?
Lamar, I've had one speeding ticket in my life. I got pulled driving a Ford Escort EXP going 7 miles over the speed limit. And my defense in court was, can you believe it could even go that fast?
That's a good one.
I've had one speeding ticket, one in my whole life, and you can't tell me how many you've had?
Well, I've never had enough that went through. I've got my point system. I had got my points down or high enough or lost enough points that one more would have been a problem. So, but then every year you get back half of your points. And so, but most of the time that I've got pulled over, there was a time years ago, if you knew the right people, you know what I'm saying? It's all about who you know, you know? My favorite saying
is, it's all about not crashing. That's what it's all about. You sound like you're at a table in Vegas. Well, I got the points going over here, and I know this guy over here can back me up. I can get a lawyer out of this in this county.
He's only counting convictions. He's not counting number of times he's been pulled over. He acts like if he got pulled over and he wasn't convicted because he had some dodge, that it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Hey, Lamar, you know, some of us, the only points we're tallying are our Jersey Mike's sub club points. Okay.
That's right.
My favorite saying is, I got a guy. Because I've usually got a guy. If somebody needs something, you know, I need a roof, I need whatever, I always say, I got a guy. And I used to have a few guys. I used to have a few guys that I could get out of the tickets. It was really not a big problem.
I'll send over a couple cases of beer from the warehouse where I work, right?
You know he did that. You
did do that, didn't you?
It is a commodity. It is a commodity.
Can I please get a number of times you got an actual ticket in your adult life?
In my adult life, I'm going to say
12 or 14.
Oh my God.
Holy cow.
But that's a long time.
You need to slow down.
That's a long time.
Hey, Speed Racer, you need to slow down.
Lamar.
Realize Speed Racer was not real.
Hey, Bob, be careful here, my friend. Be very careful. Because if he's Speed Racer, that makes me Trixie. And the only thing left for you is Chim Chim.
You're right.
I'm Lamar, begging you. I'm begging right. you to back that one up, okay?
Lamar, what's your record of tickets in a day?
Well, that's a funny story.
Let's pick up on that down the road, to use a metaphor that's aligned with speeding. Let's pick up on that. I got to hear that one, too. The idea that there's an answer is very
fascinating. Well, all right. Morons in the News is next. It's Bob and Sherry. Morons in the News is sponsored by EveryPlate. Skip the grocery store and save money with EveryPlate.
Let's do it.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Get these morons off the air.
With Morons in the News.
Well, I didn't know that this was a craze, but evidently it is. The craze is for Stanley stainless steel drinking cups. And it reached a new level last week when a woman was arrested and accused of stealing 65 Stanley stainless steel drinking cups. And that's worth $2,500. This was in Northeast Sacramento. Quote, staff saw a woman take a shopping cart full of Stanley water bottles out of Walmart without paying for them. The suspect refused to stop for staff and stuffed her car with the stolen merchandise. That takes so much brass to, in front of store employees, say, yeah, well, I'm not giving them back, and stuffing them into the car. She then took off. An officer spotted her as she entered Highway 65 and then pulled her over for a traffic stop. The woman has not been named yet. She's 23 years old, and they released a picture of the trunk of her car stuffed with a variety of cups worth $2,500, as I said. They go for about $45 each, so it's a thing. I don't know why you would leave them in the back of your car, take them home, you know, sell them at a garage sale or wherever you're going to sell them. But anyway, that's what's going on. There's actual money. Who would have known in stainless steel?
Oh, they're the hottest. They're the hottest thing right now.
I didn't know that.
You can't. No. Target can't keep them in stock. It's crazy because Stanley has been around since like my great-great-grandparents emigrated. Like, it's just the oldest company.
If you wait long enough, it'll come back to you.
They had an insane spike in sales.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I've got an exciting time in Pineville, North Carolina. A Walmart employee was shot in the leg during a scuffle inside the store that began over unpaid chicken. The incident happened at the Walmart neighborhood Walmart in Pineville, and according to police, the suspect, Jonathan Allen Smith, was checking out at the self-checkout, always a problem, self-checkout, when a Walmart employee noticed he had not scanned some chicken and some dog food. So the Walmart employee confronted Smith. Smith then paid for the dog food, but he still did not pay for the chicken. The employee then attempted to grab the stolen chicken from Smith. A scuffle between them started when Walmart employees all jumped in and broke up the fight. Smith left the store but returned shortly after with a firearm near his right pocket, police said. Smith then confronted multiple Walmart employees inside the store. Another fight between several employees and Smith began. During the fight, the firearm that Smith had in his pocket fell out, and everyone tried to get control of the firearm. During the scuffle for control, the firearm went off. Boom! Employees were shot. One was shot in the leg when the gun went off. Panic ensued. A witness said she heard something like thunder. People were screaming. Everybody's running. Pineville police said the Walmart employee that was shot was treated for minor injuries. Smith has been taken into custody. He has been charged with not only assault with a deadly weapon and inflicting serious injury, but also he is now facing dun, 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 larceny of the chicken. I don't know what the penalty is for chicken larceny, but he will be brought to justice. This cannot be allowed to happen. This is all because of self-checkout. People are getting shot in self-checkout.
You got to get rid of this thing. Got to get rid of it. 2 weeks ago, I was standing in the self-checkout line of that Walmart neighborhood grocery store in that location. And I am here to know, because they sell certain things that Kev really likes, and it's convenient, it's close, and it's cheap. Let me tell you, those self-checkout lines, like, you could do your taxes. That's how much time you have in those self-checkout lines. And tempers are short. I can't believe I'm so excited. Like, my neighborhood store is in Morons in the News. All right.
You're lucky to be alive.
I'm thankful. I'm going to preface today's Moron of the Day with these words. We have the video, and I promise you want to see it. This happened at the ASA Zoological Park in Hiroshima. They held an animal escape drill, right? So that all the employees at the zoo would know exactly what to do, where to go, how to keep guests safe, how to keep themselves safe. We're having an animal escape zoo drill. But how are we going to do that? Because we can't let a real wild animal run loose in the park. So instead, they had an employee dressed up in a bear costume. And the scenario was, there's been an earthquake and a tree has fallen and it's given the bear a way to climb out of its enclosure. So when you watch the video, you see a person in a bear suit, and it looks like the world's friendliest bear, like the kind of bear that might go to a kid's birthday party, menacing the employees and the guests, running through the park and acting like a wild bear. It's the stupidest thing you've ever seen. It's so epic. And you can see it right now on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page. That is today's Moron of the Day. Coming up, comedian Matt Falk. And what is keeping you awake at night? It's going to shock you. It's Bob and Sherry.
Come visit the Bob and Sherry store. Wish you were here. To find great deals down every aisle. Wish you were here. We wish you were here to get the Book of Bob, Cooking with Cats, Bob and Sherry grocery totes, phone cases, shirts, night shirts, caricature mugs, scones from the Scone Goddess, water bottles, True Weird Stuff merchandise, and more. We wish you were here for the time of a lifetime. The Bob and Sherry Store on the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
Instant access to the podcast, oddcast, fun size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Everybody's heard of cat cafes, right? They started in Japan. And now they're everywhere. I mean, if you've never been to a cat cafe, it's fun. It's a cafe where there are a bunch of cats roaming around and you can pet them and look at them and sit on the floor with them, or they can sit in your lap. Well, the latest craze in Japan is a little bit different. It's the pig cafe. And customers that have been say, it's incredible. So you have a latte, and the cafe is filled with mini pigs. And they're just trotting around the room. You know, they're pretty quiet.
Yeah.
They're very clean.
I think kids would love it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I would and, love it.
Apparently, the thing with mini pigs is they don't like being alone. They're very, very social. And so if you go into the pig cafe and get a latte and sit down, pigs will come and want to be in your lap. Like, they absolutely love people. So the owner of the pig cafe says a reservation is definitely required. It's very popular. It's $15 to spend 30 minutes with the pigs. And he said, every pig is unique with their own personality. Some are strong-headed. Some are gentle. These pigs, which are also called micro pigs, they're just fantastic. They love people. They love being watched and looked at.
Yeah.
And the owner of the cafe said, people are so distracted by the pigs that they often forget to even order a drink. They just come in and they're with the pigs. And some people pay again and again and stay for hours with the pigs. So coming soon to an American town, you can be sure. Now the cat cafes are standard. Get ready for a pig party at the mini pig cafe.
I'd like to see it.
I would love to
go. I would go there.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Kohl's. Shop Kohl's and Kohl's.com today.
It's time for Everyone Needs a Laugh. Here is comedian Matt Falk.
I did it! I finally reached the age where literally everything annoys me. Happened quicker than I thought. For example, my toaster. My toaster annoys me. I'll tell you why. Because it's got that little dial on the side. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Get your perfect temperature of toast every time. Come on. 3, 4, 5. That is all we need. Who is using the other numbers? 1 and 2? That is not a toaster. That's a bread holder. You wouldn't buy that if you saw a commercial for it. Get the new Durasoft bread holder 2000. It puts your bread in, then pops it up 4 seconds later. Completely unaltered.
Oh, that sounds good.
And 6, who is using 6? That's not a toaster, that's an incinerator. Doesn't even pop up, just ash and smoke comes out of the top.
Anyone else want me to ruin their breakfast? I figured out a quick way to do it.
See, I always ruin the breakfast because I don't trust the toaster. I always pop it up prematurely. You ever do that? You ever do the pre-pop? Yeah. Now you've thrown off the whole timer system. Now you gotta hover over the toaster like an overprotective parent, just checking in on it.
No, not done. No, not done. No, not done. No, not done. Burned.
How is it burned? How?
I was right here.
When you were a kid, your mom used to eat the burnt toast. She said she liked it. She's a liar. Nobody likes burnt toast because burnt toast signifies the fact that you screwed up the very first thing you tried to do that day. You cannot scrape away the taste of failure. I never even want to see a toaster. The only time it was ever good to see a toaster is when you only had that 2-slot toaster, and then you got upgraded to the 4-slot toaster. Oh, that was a good day. We were making toast every meal of the week. We're like, this is unbelievable! How did we ever manage with just 2 slots before? What were we, Amish? What were we thinking? But still, today, the number one wedding gift in the world is a toaster. I don't know if that's true. I haven't done the research. It doesn't matter. The point is, why? Why are we giving toast? Oh, start the young married couple off with a toaster. Give them as many toasters as humanly possible. Listen, if you or the person you're marrying don't already own a toaster, maybe you're not ready to get married. Go out. Live a little. Make some toast.
It's true.
I love toast.
Comedian Matt Falk. You know, Lamar, you just love food, and you love it with passion and no apology. And I appreciate that. None of this.
Have you ever seen one?
Like, Lamar never says, like, I know I probably shouldn't eat so much toast because of the carbs, but I love it. No, Lamar's like, I love toast.
Have you ever seen one of those toasters that has like the little hydraulic thing that you can push the button and it brings it up and you can look at it and then it goes back down? You don't do it by hand. It's a high-end toaster.
I had no idea such things existed.
Oh my gosh. We went to some friend's house that my wife knew. And they said, you want a bagel? And I said, yeah. I said, so put it in. And she goes, how do you want it? I said, well, I really like my bagel pretty toasted. She hits this little button, and it just slowly comes up. It's like, what do you think? And I said, nah. She goes, okay. Then it goes right back down. It's the coolest thing ever.
I've never seen
it. Is Carla friends with Iron Man? Like, where did you go for such wonders?
I wanted that for Christmas, but I didn't get it. So my life's not complete yet, but I want that. I want it.
A toaster that gives you a little peek and then,
yes,
not quite,
yes,
goes back down. What a time to be alive. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry are teaming up with Visit Florida this school year to salute teachers for all the hard work they do by giving them a chance to win a well-deserved relaxing vacation to Margaritaville Beach Resort, Fort Myers Beach. Situated on the Gulf of Mexico, this laid-back retreat is the perfect place for our teachers to find the coolest shells in the sand, sip frozen concoctions, indulge in local fare, and revel in spectacular sunsets. Plus, each teacher and their guest will receive exclusive access to the Fins Up Beach Club to enjoy the action-packed aquatic playground or chill out to the sound of great music on the Sunset Terrace. If you want to nominate a special teacher or even yourself to win this awesome vacation, log on to bobandsherry.com and hit the contest tab. Nominated teachers could win weekly prizes and qualify for the monthly grand prize, a spot to travel with us this summer on our trip for teachers to Florida. Teachers, we salute you with our trip for teachers to Florida from Visit Florida and Bob and Sherry. Contest rules apply.
Instant access to the podcast, podcast, Fun Size, and more with the free Bob and Sherry app.
You know, a lot of people are thinking ahead. This guy's come up with this plan. He's got this secret project to back up planet Earth and the information in the event of an apocalypse. And he's doing it in a James Bond style villain bunker in the Swiss Alps. It's built back up into a mountain. And because we've got so much conflict and everything going around, a U.S. firm has installed this British-designed Superman memory disk, and it contains as much of human history as they can get on there. And as this goes, it gets to where they can hold more and more. This disk holds 60 million microscopic pages of human knowledge.
Wow.
It's supposed to survive. It's supposed to survive a human. I'm not human, but a nuclear holocaust. And whoever comes back by here is going to be able to see what all we had going on. I guess it'll be evidence of how we handled it if we're gone because we didn't do too good of a job. Wait a minute.
This is really interesting. If they come and there's been nuclear annihilation, and this thing is in a mountain somewhere. Do they have some sort of a sign that says history of the world right here with a big arrow or something? How would the aliens find that?
Well, they're assuming that people will hunt this down. They're also going to send it into outer space. He's putting it on any kind of mission that goes into outer space. And he's trying to send
that is a terrible idea. That is a terrible. That sending that to outer space, if the aliens, everybody thinks the aliens are going to be really cute, you know, with an eyeball in the middle of their head and they dance around. Suppose they're evil. Then we're sending them our history and everything that we know. That's kind of a battle plan.
Well, if they're smart enough to get here, they already know what we got going on. Here's the cool deal about this laser-etched archive. It will hold the entire contents of Wikipedia and the Rosetta language archive. So it'll have all the languages, everything.
Yeah.
Future editions will hold 100,000 books, millions of photos, illustrations. Huh. You know, I guess we're leaving it to whoever. I mean,
posterity.
Yes, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'd like the idea of it. We were here. We were humans. Boy, did we screw up. But we were here. We existed. And here's proof.
Yeah.
Right there.
And I guess if anybody's left over, this will give them a roadmap to build it back up.
Recreating, and blow it back up again, probably. Right, right. So, that's a movie right there.
But it
there,
is a way to have our knowledge in history. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's amazing that somebody could have the brain power to put together something like that. I'm amazed at just that. The idea to corral that much information.
The Voyager probes, which have one of them's left our solar system and is tumbling through the vastness of the universe, those things have gold engraved disks with this kind of information on it. Like, if there's something hostile out there, we've already sent the map and it's already left our solar system on its way someday out of our galaxy, if that gives you the willies at all.
They took one of these memory disks and they put it in the glove box of Elon Musk's
Musk, Elon Musk, space-bound Tesla, the one they're sent, you know, that's going up, and they're going to run two missions to land on the surface of the moon for lunar libraries to leave stuff up there. So,
well, the aliens, when they find that out, they're going to blow it up, and they're going to say, Teslas are nice looking, but Musk,
that'll make the recall. That'll make the recall difficult, won't it?
Yeah, it will. But it's amazing to me that people, number one, are able to do it. Somebody's taking the time to do it. But this place is built back into the Swiss Alps. It's been there for a while. It's sort of hadn't been in use, and so they're making good use out of it. And they're saying that everything in there should survive whatever possibly happens.
Does the article say it's hidden, or are there guards?
No. It's got a big front thing out there, and I mean, they're not trying to hide it.
Yeah,
but it's going to be protected.
Yeah. So, all right, very good. That's interesting. Yeah. We were here. It's Bob and Sherry.
The Bob and Sherry website, the Oddcast, contest info, bobandsherry.com.
Well, we have had quite a lively time at our house. Mary's daughter, Madison, was visiting us, and she brought her dog, Dudley. So we have two Labradoodles in the house. And then I went and picked up my grandson, Christian, who was with us for 3 solid days and nights. And it was great. He was so excited. He's been told, you're going to be able to stay at Papa and Honey's house, and they're going to have great food, and you're going to have adventures, and Papa's going to take you out on a boat, which I did very quickly. He was not as excited about being on a boat as I thought he would be. He sat on my lap. The boat we had was about 18 feet with 150 horsepower Mercury engine, which is very loud. And after about 20 minutes out on the boat, he was going, Papa, I'd like to go in your car now. And so we're out in the sound, and I had to, you know, bring it back right away. I think it was the noise. I don't know. Kids are strange. But anyway, we had a great time. And what I've discovered is if you are going to be a really involved grandparent that wants the kid to have things that he just will remember the rest of his life, which he actually won't, you're going to be spending some money. We took him to the Discovery Museum, which is a museum near where I live, where they have a lot of, you know, turtles and paths, and you can walk out on a deck and see where birds are and all that sort of thing. And they also have a gift store. I'll be doggone. And he goes into the gift store, and he decides that he wants to have a little stuffed dolphin that comes in a little carrying soft thing. Well, that was $25. And I went, you know, okay. He loves it. He's got it. And now we're hungry. So near the Discovery Museum is a restaurant that's on a tributary. And you ever see a restaurant that like has a good view, but there's just something about it that says to you, I don't think the food here is very good. It's great view, but I don't think the food is very good. We ordered him a corn dog. I had, what did I have? I had the shrimp basket, and Mary had a shrimp salad with little shrimp. Have you ever seen shrimp that are so little and they're white? There's no pinkishness, and they're put on the top of a salad. And you
like
look
little
at
bay
them
shrimp? You, yeah, like little teeny bay shrimp? Yeah.
You look at it and you go, that's not too hearty. That's all we had, a chocolate milk and a couple of Cokes, $70. $70.
What?
And then, of course, you have to tip. So now $85. So add the dolphin and all of that. You're up around, in 1.5 hours, I'm out $125. But you just have to say, you know, we don't get them very long. We don't get them very long. But that's in the back of my mind. Anyway, he had a blast. And one of the things that I was very pleased with is, you know how when you're the grandparent or you're an aunt or you're taking care of somebody else's kid, you are on point, because if anything happens, I don't care if it comes out of the blue from a Martian, you're on point and you let it happen. I take him to this kid's park where they have a replica of like a pirate ship,
and it's wonderful. And kids can crawl all over it. And up he goes. He's 4 years old. He's climbing up the ropes, and he's on the second floor of the pirate ship. I'm on the ground. So I'm climbing up the ropes now. And, you know, at this point in my life, climbing up ropes onto a replica of a pirate ship is not something I'm really interested in doing, but I got to be there. He starts walking across this rope ladder that has slats that are a little bit opened. And as he's walking across, his foot goes through the slats. He goes crashing down to his knee. And he doesn't bump his head, but he's shocked. And he is screaming. And, of course, I run down, pick him up, get him out, and I'm holding him. And I'm holding him saying, I wonder if he broke an ankle. I wonder if he, I'm thinking about Kevin. I wonder if he hurt his knee and I've got to take him somewhere. I wonder if he's cut, all this and that. And I'm just holding him, holding him, holding him. And it's so exhausting. And finally, I thought, he's never going to go on that side of that pirate ship again. He's never going to do it again. He's going to stay on the ground. And he did on the ground until about 10 minutes later. And I watched him. And he went over to the rope that climbs up to the second floor of the pirate ship. And I'm right behind him because at the top is that slat bridge. And he stood there and he looked at the slat bridge. And I'm thinking, this is going to tell you what kind of a kid he is. And he looked at it and he looked at it and he went on it. And he looked down with one foot and then the next foot. And then the next foot, and then he got across, and he turned around and looked at me and smiled. And I went, good boy! So now he will never be afraid of that slat bridge again. If he did not cross that, I would worry that the kid didn't have enough chutzpah in him. But he does.
And you know, Bob, that is exactly how Papa and Aunt Sherry have handled their romantic lives. You know,
That's exactly right.
You give up the first time you get your heart broken, your money taken, you're never going to do it again. You know, you got to climb that ladder, son. You got to walk across that bridge. You are a role model for him.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. That's genes. That's genes I've handed down there.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Come visit the Bob and Sherry store to find great deals down every aisle. We wish you were here to get the Book of Bob, Cooking with Cats, Bob and Sherry Grocery Totes, Phone Cases, Shirts, Night Shirts, Caricature Mugs, Scones from the Scone Goddess, Water Bottles, True Weird Stuff Merchandise, and more. We wish you were here for the time of a lifetime. The Bob and Sherry Store on the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
Bring whatever you drink and celebrate happy hour Thursdays at 7 p.m. Eastern live on the Bob and Sherry Facebook page.
See if this sounds right for you. I am looking at the most played songs by doctor and dentist's office to keep patients like relaxed and to help distract them from pain or anxiety or fear. I'm going to give you just the top 10 of the most commonly played songs in your dentist's office. And you tell me if this has you going, huh, yeah. Number 10, Iris by the Goo Goo Dolls. Number nine is Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. Number 8 is Drops of Jupiter by Train. Number 7, Riptide, Vance Joy. Number 6, I'm Yours by Jason Mraz. Now we're at the top 5. Hey Soul Sister by Train. Number 4, Brown Eyed Girl by Van Morrison. Number 3 is that song that will be playing when the universe experiences heat death, and that is Africa by Toto.
Yeah.
Number 2, I'm Like a Bird by Nelly Furtado. And the number 1 song most frequently played at doctors and dentist's office to keep you calm is...
The song is hard to dislike. I mean, it is such a hooky song. It's a perfect, what was that, 80s? Perfect 80s.
Yeah, songs. Listen. the classical music is the genre most associated with pain at a doctor's office.
Is that right?
That's why you're hearing Don't Stop Believing. Jazz music was associated with the shortest wait times. Country music with the longest wait times. Not only do these songs keep you calmer, but they've done research. And science now can demonstrate using brain scanning technology that Journey's Don't Stop Believing relieves pain. And what's fun about that is this was the song that was used to whack Tony Soprano.
At the end of the Sopranos, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. You got to be careful with some songs. If it's the country music, you don't want to play It Keeps Right On a Hurtin'. You know, you're going to have to listen to some of those lyrics. That's
right. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
It is talk back time. You can call us on the phone at 844-52-SHERRY. That's 844-52-SHERI. Or you can grab the free Bob and Sherry app, Google Play, the Apple Store. And with it, you can listen to the show and all of our podcasts, including Talking Lamar and True Weird Stuff. And you can text the studio. And there's a little microphone in the bottom center of the screen. Tap it and talk, and the app will do the rest.
Hi, Bob and Sherry. This is Peter. Responding to your section today on Boom Boom Marcos, the son of Imelda and Ferdinand, horribly corrupt people. And his taking the helicopter to a concert, the presidential helicopter to a concert, I guess with security you might need that. But out of step, yes, especially when he said, I am not corrupt, I would disown my parents for being corrupt, all of that stuff, and then here's what he does. By the way, Boom Boom is a fitting name as a euphemism for number two. Thanks.
All right, something I didn't know.
I love it.
So the song Boom Boom Boom, Let's Go Back to My Room had a totally different meaning than what I thought.
Oh my God, yeah, it changes everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
totally. I mean, clearly, like, the hypocrisy, you're so corrupt, you're taking the official presidential helicopter to go see Coldplay? Come on. I think we have another one.
This is a listener in the Philippines.
Hey, Bob and Sherry. So I actually live in the Philippines, and I was a few days behind on your podcast, but I work with a team of locals here, and we work with trafficked women. So our work's kind of heavy, and I have introduced them to your podcast so we can laugh at night. And we were literally sitting on a boat out in the sea and listening to your podcast when you were telling the story about Marcos and the Coldplay and the helicopter. And this has been huge in the news, and everyone was like going crazy about how he can just fly over the traffic, because it's such a situation. We have the worst traffic in the world in Manila. And anyway, it was just really funny. And they were like, I can't believe your comedy podcast from America is talking about the Philippines. So anyway, thanks for all the laughs.
I just don't know what to say. I'm trying to absorb this, that a woman who is fighting, as far as I could tell, they're human trafficking.
Yes.
Human trafficking.
Is sitting in a boat off the coast of the Philippines, trying to be helpful in some way, saving people, listening to us. I mean,
it's crazy, isn't it?
I don't know what to say. I'm humbled by that. Wow. That is really crazy. Thank you very, very much. Man.
It's something like that. That'll stay with you forever.
Forever.
Like, And for those women who are coming out of being trafficked, and I mean, it's unthinkable that anything could be like a distraction or funny or interesting. Yeah. It's very it's very, very humbling. Very humbling. Wow. And now I'll never think of, what was that song? Boom, Boom in the Room. Now, let's thanks between that and again. You, I'm never going to. I'm never going to be able to forget that.
You know, it's just so funny that there are people out there who, and they're in morons in the news all the time. There are people out there who will call the fire department 911 and say there's a fire over there. And there's no fire, but they just want to stand there and see the fire engines go by and laugh. There are people that do that, and they're the same age as somebody who's sitting in a boat trying to help women who are being trafficked, listening to the Bob and Sherry show off of the Philippines. Say, it's the same species, but is it really?
It's just crazy, isn't it? And you're right, because it is exactly the same group of people that do the worst, right? And here you have someone who's tirelessly working to do good in the world. And, you know, she'll never be famous. You don't get rich doing that kind of work. It's just,
right.
I mean, it really sits you down for sure.
Yeah. Great listener.
All right. Do not budge. Coming up, the reason that you're not sleeping well might have a lot to do with all the crap and clutter in your bedroom. And that is something to think about, because for a lot of us, everything that needs to find a place to go, we end up carrying it into the bedroom to deal with it later. And that may be making you insane. It's Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
Dr. Leo Stanley was chief surgeon at San Quentin State Prison from 1913 to 1951. His horrific pro-eugenics legacy included performing inhumane surgeries on inmates as a way to rehabilitate them. From thyroid removal to transplanting testicular glands from executed prisoners to living ones, his belief in surgical cures for criminal minds made him a medical Frankenstein.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
As I was mentioning earlier, Mary and I had Christian, my grandson, for several days. Landon, with Landon Lacey Jewelry, went to a jewelry show in Tucson, Arizona. So we kept Christian, and Elle went to her grandmother, my ex. So it was kind of, you know, divide and conquer. And it was so much fun. I mean, it was just an absolute blast. But I have to tell you, I haven't chased around after a little one in a long time. And there were two of us. There's Mary and me, actually three, because Madison was visiting with her dog also. So there were three of us, and still at the end of the day, to get him into bed, and we promised that he'd be able to sleep with Honey, which is Mary's grandma name. The mistake was, we were told, don't give him any sugar unless you'll pay the price. But you know me, it's just like, how bad could it be? It could be bad. I watched after he had one sugared popsicle, not a double stick, just a single stick. All of a sudden, the eyes are wide and it's party time. And he had that just before bed, and it was almost impossible to get him down. But the most stressful thing is that he's 4 years old, and Elle is too. If you are charged with them, you cannot take your eyes off of them. You just can't. Now, if they're yours and they're, you know, in your house, and you kind of know, you know, off of the back of your head, you've got eyes as a mother or father. You kind of know exactly what they're doing. But if they're at your house, it's different. And so you are following them around. We walked in because I picked him up. I got him out of the car seat. And we walked into the house after I picked him up. And the two dogs, Finn and Dudley, which is Madison's dog, are at the front door, and they are staring with tails going crazy. And I walk him up the stairs, and Dudley freaked out because I don't think he'd ever seen a creature that size that was not a dog. And he turned around and ran to the other side of the living room and just sat there and looked. And then he was pacing back and forth, and he'd come a little bit closer. And Christian would go, "Doggy," or something like that. And Dudley would run to the other side of the house. And then he'd come a little closer because Dudley wants to be with people. He's a labradoodle too. And he went up one time and this is what I heard. And I looked over at Christian and Christian's eyes got big and he grabbed Papa. He grabbed my leg. And so for 3 days, not only do you have to make sure that they're not taking one of the post pokers from the fireplace, but you've got to keep an eye on where is Dudley and where is Christian, because I'm not going to be the grandparent that calls my daughter and says, everything's going great. Yeah. Now, he's going to be fine. We got the stitches, but he and Dudley did not get along. I can't be that guy. And so for 3 days, I'm one eye here on Dudley, one eye on Christian. And it's so stressful. It's just so stressful. You're loving it when you're sitting next to him and you're coloring with him, right? And sometimes you could get away with letting him watch Mickey Mouse on TV. That's about the only thing they allow. But when he's just, you know, kind of running free, you got to follow him. Because he could find something, you know, in Mary's bathroom with all the makeup stuff. And you just don't know what they're going to be doing next. And so
and you forget the way their little minds work. It can be very literal. It can be evil and chaotic and very, very, very literal. Like we have to be super careful about like pet water bowls. Because apparently pet water bowls are just the most fabulous thing. And it's fun to put things in the pet water bowls, like my phone, you know? So you have to be hyper, hyper, hyper vigilant, hyper vigilant. And just be glad you don't have Karamia's bedroom at your house. Karamia's bedroom is like Six Flags over tiny, fragile objects.
Yeah,
and of
yeah.
course, Ada, the first thing Ada does when she gets here, she tells me, I need to check on something in Karamia's room. And that is code for I'm going to put things in my pocket and then in the dog's dish. So believe me, I know it's exhausting.
They're sneaky. They're so sneaky. Really are. I mean, they're loving, but they're so sneaky. And they can be
Now you see why Sofia Vergara told Joe, what's his head? Look, love you. I'm not doing that. You go get you a different woman. I am done doing that.
Yeah. She sent
it's
him on
Bob
his way.
And Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by BritBox? Unbox BritBox and escape to the best of British TV.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this.
Mess is stress. That was the line that jumped off the screen and burned itself into my eyeballs. It was a story about do you sleep better in a tidy, organized room or in a cluttered room? And it turns out that a cluttered bedroom is really bad, not just for your ability to fall asleep, but for you to have restful sleep. Isn't that interesting to think about?
Because you would think your eyes are closed. What difference would it make?
And it's your little nest, you know.
Maybe it's what you see before your eyes are closed. It sets the tone.
Well, it says here, mess is stress. Humans have limited bandwidth, and it isn't easy to focus on essential tasks when you're in messy or unclean spaces. And given enough time, that takes a toll and makes you feel bogged down by uncompleted tasks. Clutter problems lead to significant decrease in life satisfaction, and it stops you from getting a good night's sleep. I hate when my bedroom's a hot mess, and it always is in the 3 weeks leading up to Christmas, because that's where all the presents go.
Yes,
until they're wrapped, right? That's the room where I hide everything, and we have a huge family. And so about a third of my bedroom is just piles of things. You know, the kids are all little, so they're getting toys, and toys take up space. And, oh, God, Lamar, it's a hellscape. And my husband he has ADD and he is easily distracted, and he starts tasks but doesn't finish them. And I know you're going, wow, does he have ADD? Yes, he has ADD, medicated ADD. And one of the things that, like, he's really like, I will do my own laundry. Oh, sir, you may have that. Believe me, I wasn't waiting until you closed your eyes so I could do your laundry. Like, everybody in this house does their own laundry. And he does his own laundry. He dumps everything in the washing machine. He doesn't sort by color or anything, which I know is also how Gen Z does their laundry. Just dumps it all in, pours in the detergent, washes it on hot, then moves it over to the dryer. And there's a feature on our dryer called Power Dry, which it pulls up hot air from the bowels of the earth. It's so freaking hot. And he can dry
really
3 weeks worth of laundry in 25 minutes. He loves it. I'm over here. I'm sorting by color. Well, these are sweaters. So they go on the delicate cycle. Those are sheets. So they're going to get bleached. Like, it's, I do laundry like I was born in 1940, and he does laundry like a raccoon. Now, the problem is he does the laundry. He gets it into the washer. He gets it into the dryer. He takes it out of the dryer. He gets it back to the bedroom. That's where the wheels come off that particular bus. And then after a while, he's not sure which pile is clean and which pile is dirty. So guess what happens? Back into the washer it goes, then into the power dry, then back into the bedroom. Repeat, repeat, repeat. So one of the first things I did when he was immobilized and narked out on his medicine, I took every piece of clothing of his that I could find, washed it, dried it, folded it, and put it away. So that for at least this period of time, I don't have to look at that. This man has no idea how many of his little piles I have gone through. And like, babe, do you really need the sports section from 3 weeks ago? Because I don't think you do. That's gone into the recycling. I don't like when people mess with my stuff. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't with my stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't mess with theirs. And my kids have their own thing and my husband has his own thing. I can hear that man coming now between the crutches and the scooter. And the minute he's out of my sight, I'm throwing stuff away. And I promise you, he will never, ever notice. Because I can't sleep in the cluttered bedroom. And how delighted was I to find out that nobody can sleep in the cluttered bedroom. This is actual science. So if you get in bed at night and you're just grinding your teeth and your room looks like raccoons live there, you gotta declutter it because it's keeping you awake and it's making you crazy. And this is how we become hoarders. You know, like nobody makes the decision to never throw away a copy of a magazine. But one day you look up and you got 3 years worth.
Yeah.
And are you really gonna go back and read them? Did you save a whole magazine because it had one story about fly fishing or a recipe or whatever? I'm gonna post this up on Facebook. So if you are also driven crazy by this and losing sleep, now you have proof, you have ammo. It's Bob and Sherry.
Bob and Sherry are teaming up with Visit Florida this school year to salute teachers for all the hard work they do by giving them a chance to win a well-deserved relaxing vacation to Margaritaville Beach Resort, Fort Myers Beach. Situated on the Gulf of Mexico, this laid-back retreat is the perfect place for our teachers to find the coolest shells in the sand, sip frozen concoctions, indulge in local fare, and revel in spectacular sunsets. Plus, each teacher and their guest will receive exclusive access to the Fins Up Beach Club to enjoy the action-packed aquatic playground or chill out to the sound of great music on the Sunset Terrace. If you want to nominate a special teacher or even yourself to win this awesome vacation, log on to bobandsherry.com and hit the contest tab. Nominated teachers could win weekly prizes and qualify for the monthly grand prize, a spot to travel with us this summer on our trip for teachers to Florida. Teachers, we salute you with our trip for teachers to Florida. From Visit Florida and Bob and Sherry. Contest rules apply.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
I got a really cool story about a 16-year-old girl that went missing. Investigators were looking for the 16-year-old girl, and they were able to locate a Florida man suspected of bringing her across state lines with the help of a video game. The detective was able to track the girl to a residence with help from her World of Warcraft account. The information the detective gathered led them to the residence of a 31-year-old man who also accessed his online gaming account from that location. When the detective arrived at the home, the man denied knowing the girl, later admitting that he drove her to Ohio, that he drove to Ohio to meet the girl and brought her back to his house. He also told the detective that he was in a romantic relationship with this girl. He planned on hiding her at his house and make her his wife. The man showed Discord messages sent between him and the girl that confirmed the plans he made to go pick up the girl in Ohio and engage in sexual activity, despite knowing that he was committing a crime, according to the Post. He was arrested and transported to a county jail in the area where he's being held without bond. This is just like a television show where they were able to use a video game and the IP and all that stuff to track this down. Is that not amazing?
Wow. God, you know, I mean, are you not sick of these guys?
Like, God, look, where just, do it, you it never get? Stops.
It never stops. No. You were going to hide her and then make her your wife. And what penalty is there for this? Not enough of one, you can be sure, right?
No, there's not. And I got to figure, how many of these are we catching? How many are we losing? I don't know. This is crazy. It's just crazy.
I feel like for every 100, we catch maybe one.
I think and that's true.
And that might be low. Like, that might be optimistic. Y'all need to straighten up and fly right, okay? You need to knock straighten up. That is not appropriate, legal, correct, moral behavior. Knock it off. And you can't be keeping people captive in your house so that you can marry them. Oh my God. I hope they throw the book at them. It's Bob and Sherry. Well, looky here. This is some real interesting information about exercising with your partner, you know, your significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse. Bottom line, you shouldn't. Now, is this something that do you and Carla work out together or exercise?
It's funny. We go to the same gym. When we walk in the door, we go in two different directions and we meet back up at the aqua massage chair and then we go home. We do two completely different things. And we don't always go together, but when we do, we don't do the same thing.
Well, you're doing it right then because this really surprised me because you would think like, you know, having an exercise buddy keeps you accountable. You know, you're kind of maybe a little competitive with each other. That might be true for an exercise buddy, but it ain't true if it's your spouse or significant other. They had two different groups of people that they compared, married, you know, living together couples. And then people who exercised on their own, who were also married or living with a partner. So they got, they were trying to do as close a one-to-one as they could. And for 12 weeks, they monitored these people with trackers and step counters and all that. And they found that people who exercise as a couple, much fewer steps and lower levels of physical activity. Yeah. You're much better off doing it separately. And it's kind of hard to guess why that might be. I don't know. Do you have any theories about that? Some of it, this research said, you know, some of it just comes down to changing daily habits is really hard. And one person may be way more all about, we're going to walk and run and play pickleball together. And the other one might be like, no, we're not. So that less motivated partner kind of drags the whole thing down. That's one of the suggestions here, but they are saying do not exercise with your life partner.
There's two different ways this works because she's going to do something completely different that I have no interest in whatsoever. I mean, I'm really not.
And I'm the same way. But we have a couple of friends of ours, very close friends. They're in our small group, and they're both physical therapists. They don't work together, but they both do that. But they both ride bikes. They do mountain biking. You know, they do the same thing, and they do it at about the same pace. So that seems to work for them. You know, that's just like if we go to the beach or something, they take bikes and they ride, you know, but they're both doing exactly the same thing. And, they're, you know, that's their deal. But no, I can't do it. I have a guy that I meet at the gym. He and I work buddies because we do the same thing and we motivate each other. But no, I understand why it wouldn't work, because most of the time you're not going to be doing the same thing. One of you's giving up something. One of you's agreeing to do something they really are not wanting to do.
The only thing that Kevin and I do together, and we can't do this together for a long time, is we would go on these epic, like, 5-mile marches, you know.
Yeah.
You can't even call it a hike because we're in the city, but like we would, like, for hours, we would do that together. But like he rows, he has a rowing machine. Again, can't do that right now. And he's like, you should try rowing. You can watch like a movie while you're rowing.
Oh yeah.
Well, you can, but you know, you got to have it cranked up really loud. And also, like, I don't know, I just kind of hated it. I can't even explain it.
It's very monotonous. I like to row, but it's very monotonous. I mean, it really is. And I'm like Kevin, I put a movie on and I set my phone up and I got my AirPods in. And, you know, I can go to here to Atlanta as long as I got a movie or something on. But, boy, I couldn't do it for 10 minutes without – not even music. I can't do music. I can do a book, but it's either got to be a book or it's got to be a movie. I can't do that monotonous thing over and over without a distraction. Can't do it.
Like, I know it's like the rowing is really great. Like, it's great for everything. Like, there's it's good for everything. It makes your hair thicker and shinier, sparkling, right? It's just great. Yeah.
Helps your bank account. Everything's great. Couldn't be better. Good. It's a magic. It's magic. That's right.
Lamar, 10 minutes on a rowing machine. It's like dog years. 10 minutes on a rowing machine feels like an hour of doing anything else. And I like to be, like, it's even a gym is hard for me because I like to, if I'm going to be walking or running, or climbing stairs.
Something's got to be passing me.
I want the scenery changing.
I can't.
Like, I need the scenery to change a whole bunch. Like, to just, like, oh, God, the elliptical machine.
That's why I like hiking. It's interesting exercise. I mean, you're exercising, but you're seeing stuff.
You see something different every time.
You climb up a hill, and there's a reward at the end. You get this great view.
Well, if Carla or Bridget ever comes up to you and says, you know what, we need to start working out together, say, absolutely not. That is the worst thing for both of us. That, my friends, is science. It's Bob and Sherry.
Come visit the Bob and Sherry store. Wish you were here. To find great deals down every aisle. Wish you were here. We wish you were here to get the Book of Bob, Cooking with Cats, Bob and Sherry grocery totes, phone cases, shirts, night shirts, caricature mugs, scones from the Scone Goddess, water bottles, True Weird Stuff merchandise, and more. We wish you were here for the time of a lifetime. The Bob and Sherry Store on the shop tab at bobandsherry.com.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
Go to bobandsherry.com to nominate a teacher to win a vacation from Visit Florida to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach, Florida. Something is just haunting me, and I absolutely have to share it with you guys. Among the many things we do here at the Bob and Sherry Show, we have a handful of podcasts. We have the Oddcast, which is everything we can't, don't, didn't, wouldn't, and definitely shouldn't do on the regular show. And then we have Talking Lamar, which is Lamar's weekly podcast, which is about whatever Lamar is thinking of at the moment. Sometimes it ties into his movie review, and sometimes he's just, you know, off freelancing. And then we have True Weird Stuff, which is a podcast that Max and I do with Doc. And it's the title tells you what it is. The only rules for True Weird Stuff is it has to be based in truth and it has to have kind of a weird twist. So it's a little bit of true crime and science and history and astronomy and aliens and reincarnation and all kinds of things, right? So we had an episode about this murderous cannibal Christian puppeteer. Now, he never actually succeeded in murdering and eating any of the children he entertained, but he had some pretty detailed active fantasies, and he got caught up in a Department of Homeland sting that pulled in arrests all around the world of people who were buying, selling, and trading in these horrific images of children. And this guy just happened to be someone who entertained children at schools and shopping malls and summer camps and churches in Florida. And he even was part of a Christian kids TV show that aired back in the 90s called Joy Junction. So one of the things you have to know about this guy, Ronald Brown, is not only was he just a monster and a complete freak, he was a terrible, terrible ventriloquist, right? Absolutely wretched ventriloquist. Not the worst of his sins, but it's definitely on the list. So the episode dropped and, it went out into the world and there you go. So on the True Weird Stuff Instagram, one of our listeners of that podcast left a comment that has just haunted me. Like, I can't stop thinking about it. Here we go. So I'm going to read it. Yikes. I once had an online dating match who was a master ventriloquist, and he was looking for someone to be a throuple with him and his doll. I thought that was bizarre and intense. But this man, Ronald Brown, makes that look innocent and charming. So I have a lot of thoughts about the throuple with the ventriloquist and his dummy. Here is the thing that has most, like when I've considered all of the possibilities, here's the thing that most sticks with me. So here I am, I'm in a throuple. And technically, that's more hands on deck, right? Some at least now there are three people figuring out what's for dinner. No, because I'm in a throuple with a human being and a puppet, and the puppet can't do anything.
No,
puppet ain't cooking dinner. Puppet doesn't even have like, oh, Mr. Nichols, what should we have for dinner?
I don't know, Sherry. What should we have for dinner?
Like, how is this, like, in what way is this benefiting anyone to be in a throuple with a puppet? Help me understand. And believe me, I've thought about all the angles, but the one that most irritated me was there are three people in this relationship and I'm still having to do more than my share because one of y'all is a puppet.
And, you know, as a rule, the puppets are not normally attractive. I mean, you know what I'm saying? They're weird looking to start.
Because if you think of what the situation is, you might want him to move his lips, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, even that. And I can hear it now. I'm in a sound. I'm finally asleep. I've been doing everything for this master ventriloquist and his puppet because we're a throuple. I'm finally getting a little bit of sleep, and I hear,
Sherry, why don't you give Mr. Nichols some sugar?
That would be my life with this. I'm not doing it, y'all. I'm not agreeing to this. There is not. No. And can you tell me, can you think of any scenario where any human being that you have ever known would be like, I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a ventriloquist and his puppet to be in a throuple with. Like, who would ever want that? And why?
Unless, as the puppet, he can be more risque. Do you see what I'm saying? He might be able to do that where he wouldn't be comfortable saying it from himself.
Well, then you got a puppet. You got a puppet talking some trash he can't cover. So
I got a dirty talking puppet writing checks with his mouth that ain't nobody cashing, and I have to come up with dinner. Excuse me, that is a firm, hard no from this girl, as it was from Amanda Pierce Photography, who had that offer made to her. Absolutely not. It's Bob and Sherry.
Now, let's open up the Bob and Sherry Archive Vault.
It is talk back time, and you can reach the show a couple of different ways. If you have our app, it's free in the Apple Store and Google Play.
just tap a little microphone in the bottom right corner of your screen and talk, and the app will do everything else. Or you can call 833-424, the number 4-B-O-B, or 844-52-SHERRY. Take it away, Max.
We talked about doggy doors, and I've got a lot of stuff about this, but this one.
Hey, Bob and Sherry, this is Wendy from South Carolina. I know this subject is old, but going back to the doggy doors, I thought Max would enjoy this. When my husband was building his house, he had a girlfriend, and she called him one day and said, hey, is it okay if I wait in your house until you get home? And he told her where the key was, and she said, well, it's okay. I've already crawled through the doggy door. So no big scary beast coming through, just his crazy ex-girlfriend. Also, it's very convenient because my husband is 6'4", and he has really long arms. And so if we lock ourselves out of the house and we can't find the spare keys, he can reach up through the doggy door and unlock the door. Love y'all very, very much. You're all I listen to when I'm in my vehicle, and keep up the great work. Bye.
That is so sweet. Thank you very much.
That's impressive that he has an arm long enough to come up through the door like that.
Yeah.
Now, I know what you're thinking, Bob. Are there burglars who have long arms too?
But that's exactly what I was thinking.
Life is a game of statistics. You take your chances, right? What are the odds that you're going to get a long-armed, clear-minded burglar that's going to come get you through your doggy door? You know, you're just taking
Boy, that girlfriend. Chances. That girlfriend must have been a really tiny thing, huh?
Unless they had a real big dog, right?
Unless they had a really big dog, yeah.
Like, if you've got a golden retriever, I think most of us could come through a doggy door big enough for a golden retriever.
Yeah.
You think so? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then it's not a good idea, then, to have a doggy
door.
I know I could,
and not because I've broken into some poor SOB's house to punish him through his doggy door, but because Ada, who's 2, has a little play tent, and the tent, it's in the living room, and the tent has a long tunnel. And Ada wants me to go in the tent with her. And so I go through the flap, and she's like, no, no, that way. And I'm like, no, I can't fit. I'm too big. No, go through. And she doesn't want to hear it. Go through. She's like one of these like crazy life coaches. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Tunnel, tunnel, tunnel.
If she so has you I walking on hot coals, look out.
Oh, yeah. So I get through, and my sister wife and I were laughing because she makes Joni do it too. So you get through, you get into the tent through the tunnel, and like you're so pleased with yourself that you could get through this tunnel. Now, it's not pretty. Like there's nothing, you don't want to see it. It's really unpleasant to watch, right? But you finally get into the tunnel, and then you're in the tent, and you're crouched in a tiny ball to fit inside the tent. And then she says, take off your shoes and jump. Honey, I can't jump. The tent is only 2 feet tall. Jump, jump, jump. And then before you know it, you're crouched on all fours, kind of jumping up and down inside the tent while she claps and cheers. If I could get this kid to like do Pilates or a running workshop, she could turn me into an Olympian. But yeah, I could definitely fit through a doggy door.
You know, really, one of the greatest things of being a kid is to have a tent like that inside the house. Or to be able to have parents that say, yeah, go ahead, take all the cushions, make a fort. I don't care. Just shut up and leave me alone. And to make an actual fort with a sheet on the top, you know, and the cushions you build up. And then they always collapse sooner or later. But it's the coolest thing of being a kid, because you're constructing something. It's the first place, especially as a boy, where you can just say, this is where I'm going. So they leave me the hell alone.
I have a great idea for you. Oh, I just had the best idea. Your wife is very playful, and you're not as playful as your wife. Can we all agree with that? Like she's a really lighthearted, playful person.
Whereas I'm just kind of an anchor of despair.
Much more so, yeah. Yeah, you're much more, you know.
Jeez. Why'd you have to set me up like that? Well, I guess the entire world can agree that his wife is much more playful than he is.
But the entire world does agree that your wife is much more playful, and you agree with the entire world. Are you going to sit here? Do we have to sit here now and pretend that you're as playful as your wife? Is that what is required?
Every once in a while, and this shows you, you know, just how pathetic I am. I'll go up to her, and she's singing some song that she's just made up, and you know, I'm over there reading something that is horrible about what's happening to the world, and I'll just look at her and go, you know, if you married somebody that was just like you, the two of you would drive each other nuts. You're lucky that you chose someone like me. And she'll go, I'm sure I am, Bob. I'm sure I am.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for making sure that my balloon stays firmly on the ground. Here's my idea for you, okay?
Yeah,
you will shock her. You will shock her.
Go ahead.
She'll be talking about this for the rest of her life. While she's like, after, you know, everybody's done working for the day, while she's busy doing something else in another part of the house, like, I don't know, painting the laundry room or whatever, make a pillow fort in the living room, get a bottle of wine and a couple of glasses, and call her in and have a glass of wine with her inside your pillow fort. She will love that more than anything you could do.
Yeah, you're right.
And I can tell by your response that it's never going to happen.
I'm thinking about it. I'm thinking, you know what's going to happen? I get her in there, give her the wine. She said, yeah, this is really cute. And then she reaches into her pocket, and here comes TikTok. I still can't be TikTok, even in the pillow fort.
Yeah, but she'll make a TikTok about the pillow fort you made. And then women all around the world will be like, I wish I had Bob Lacey. And that's a little something for you to look forward to.
I thought he was a dreary anchor, but evidently not.
It's Bob and Sherry.
True. Weird. Stuff.
Dr. Leo Stanley was chief surgeon at San Quentin State Prison from 1913 to 1951. His horrific pro-eugenics legacy included performing inhumane surgeries on inmates as a way to rehabilitate them. From thyroid removal to transplanting testicular glands from executed prisoners to living ones, his belief in surgical cures for criminal minds made him a medical Frankenstein.
True. Weird. Stuff.
New episodes drop every Friday, everywhere you get your podcasts.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
I think this is going to blow a lot of people's minds right now. You know, there's always this discourse. You see it a lot on social media, but you hear it a lot, like typically, you know, at a family get together about how everything, you know, people are sloppy and they're too casual. Like if Bob was here right now and he had to leave early today, if Bob was here, he would tell you that people used to get dressed up to fly and men would wear ties to baseball games. And what's happened to America? Right? We've all heard that a million times, right? From somebody.
Yep.
Maybe even from yourself. What is this getting on an airplane in a thong and flip-flops? Well, here's the part that's going to blow your mind. President Thomas Jefferson, as in Monticello, President Thomas Jefferson hated formal parties. And when you are the president of the United States, you have a lot of receptions and dinners with other heads of state, right? You do a fair amount of very formal entertaining as the president of the United States. Well, Thomas Jefferson hated it. So he would often greet foreign dignitaries in his pajamas as a protest against having to get dressed up for yet one more formal dinner. You never heard that.
No.
Is that not crazy? Isn't that nuts? So the next time somebody says to you, oh, this country, you know, is going straight to hell because blah, 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 these kids wearing pajamas to school, President Thomas Jefferson would greet, like, I don't know, the prince or king of something in his jammies. So clearly this is part of the American DNA going all the way back to the founding fathers. And I don't know what Jefferson's jammies looked like, but didn't men back then wear nightshirts and little stocking caps?
Yeah, they did.
That far back for sure, yes.
So the difference between President Thomas Jefferson and Lamar's mamaw, very, very small.
very close.
Slight.
Very close.
It's Bob and Sherry. Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.